We're looking at the names of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And this morning's topic is Everlasting Father. And I want you to know that God has proclaimed for everyone that has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who has trusted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and invited Him to come into their lives and cleanse their sin and give them everlasting life, is kept by the power of God, is safe in the hands of our living God. Amen? That is a truth that we need to nail home to our hearts, so that when things go bad and things aren't the way we think they ought to be in this life, we know we have a Heavenly Father. We know we have an everlasting Father in Jesus our Savior. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we've been looking at the names of Jesus in Isaiah, and particularly in this passage are the names of Jesus that are proclaimed. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It is a fantastic truth that needs to anchor into every one of our hearts. Lord, as we open the Word today, we pray that every eye, every spiritual eye, will be fixed on the Lord Jesus, and that You would be exalted above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title this morning is, Jesus is our Everlasting Father. Now, there's a problem with this, because people have difficulty with the Trinity and understanding it. It was a number of years ago that Pam Prentice wrote a worship song, and we're going to conclude with that today. But in that worship song, she proclaimed the exalted name of Jesus. And I have been preaching on the names of Christ, and I'm sure that part of that those words may come from that. And it goes like this: Awesome God, Holy Father, Restorer of my soul, in every way, O Lord, I pray, let my life be worship to You. Isn't that great? And then the chorus says, O Jesus, Your name is like no other. Amen? Amen. Jesus, You're my Savior and my friend. Amen? And then she says, Jesus, You're my loving, holy Father. Amen? And let my life be worship to You. I knew that would happen. See, you fumbled it on that third verse, on that third line, because most people do. As a matter of fact, Pam and Dave introduced this song at our district conference, and she was crucified after the service by all the would-be theologians among us that think their job is to be the police for good theology, and they just jumped all over her and said, Jesus is not our Heavenly Father. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is the Father. The Son is the Son. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And on it went. And she was about in tears. And then she came to me and said, Master, what do I do? And I said, Isaiah 9:6. And then I began to quote to her some of those other songs that say the same thing, that Jesus is the Everlasting Father. We should not cringe at that. We need to understand the Trinity, and most of us don't. We struggle with it. There's great confusion over the mystery of the Trinity, because you can't understand it, you can't grasp it, and you don't adopt it. But it's not three gods. We don't have three gods: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have one God who manifests Himself in three persons, three manifestations. God the Father, who's invisible and nobody can see, and if you did see Him, you'd die. God the Son, who is the visible and tangible evidence of the Father. He is the express image of His person. And God the Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the Father, come to take up residence within us. Wow, this truth is so powerful. And yet the devil concludes or confuses people, getting them to major on minors, getting them confused about who Jesus is. And I'm sure Isaiah 9:6 confused the Jews of that day, because they said, God is one. Quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is one, the Lord is one. And so when Isaiah says, this child that's going to be born, and a virgin shall bring forth a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14, they were confused. And now in Isaiah 9:6, they were again confused. Who is this Messiah that would come? Why does Isaiah say He is Mighty God? And why does he say He is Everlasting Father? And finally, what we'll deal with next week is, He is Prince of Peace, the God of all peace. It's because He is the Father incarnate in the Son, the visible manifestation of God's glory upon this earth. And this morning we want to look at this truth and we want to explore it. There are some messages that are very difficult to prepare and some messages that are really fun, and I had fun preparing this one. And I hope you'll have fun as you entertain the thought of who Jesus is. I want to look, first of all, at what does everlasting mean? When it says He is everlasting Father, what does that word everlasting mean? It comes from the Hebrew, which is a name that the Lord gave to Himself. It's El Olam. El Olam means everlasting God. It refers to the fact that God is ageless, He's timeless, He had no birth, He'll have no death, He's inexhaustible, He has no beginning, He has no ending. He is the Alpha and He is Omega, He's the beginning and the ending. You see, the Father is everlasting from everlasting to everlasting. Now, the Scriptures even struggle with how do you explain everlasting to anyone, let alone adults that think they know a lot of theology. I would challenge you if we were in a class, I'd say, somebody please explain to me what everlasting is. How long is everlasting? Everlasting isn't something that begins and then ends. Everlasting is everlasting. It never had a beginning, never had an end. And the Father is so mysterious and so beyond our comprehension, He has no beginning. That's fathomless. He didn't begin when Genesis 1:1 came, in the beginning God. God always was. Always is, and always shall be. And what does the Scripture say about the Lord Jesus Christ as well? Jesus Himself quotes that Scripture and says it in Revelation. He says, which was, which is, and is to come, I am the Almighty. We should have no discomfort with calling Jesus who He is, who Isaiah says He is, who the apostles say He is, who the Scripture says He is, and who God the Father says He is. Let me give you just some quick verses, and you'll have to rush along to find them, because we're going to move swiftly. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, You had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. What a tremendous truth. God is God. And Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Psalm 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on them that fear Him. Isaiah has three passages in which it declares that Jesus is exactly what the Father said He is. That He is the Alpha and the Omega. Doesn't use the Greek words, but it uses the Hebrew words. He is the beginning and the ending. Let me give you those, and you ought to write them down, because someday there's going to be a Jehovah's Witness that comes knocking on your door trying to tell you that Jesus is not God. He is a God. And I want you to know Jesus is not a God. Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh, revealed to us. That's the only way we see the Father. Jesus said it Himself. He said, He that has seen Me has seen the Father. Wow, what an extraordinary truth. Let it sink in. Let me give you four scriptures in Isaiah where Isaiah declares that Jesus Christ is God is the first and the last, and Jesus declares He is that. Isaiah 41:4. Who has wrought and done it, who has called generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am He. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside Me there is no God. Isaiah 48:12. Hearken unto Me, O Jacob and Israel, My called. I am He. I am the first and I am the last. We should not stumble over the term everlasting God, that Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, for He is God of gods, very God of very God. That's good theology that stands throughout all time. And I insist that whatever pastors jumped all over Pam Prentice for the writing of that song would apologize and repent in sackcloth and ashes. Because Jesus is who He says He is. You cannot read the book of Revelation and come to any other conclusion but that He is God incarnate, revealed in the flesh, a great mystery that Paul says was hidden from the ages, but is now revealed to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open the Scriptures and you will find that Jesus is the everlasting Father. Second question is, what does the term Father mean? He's everlasting. Understand that. He's the first and last, the Alpha and Omega. Okay, I'll give you that much, Pastor. But what do you mean? What do you mean that he is Father? Jesus is not Father. Jesus is Son. There's a difference, isn't there? Well, the Scripture says something different. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Who said that? God the Father Almighty. And what does John say in John chapter 1? He says, nothing that was made without Jesus. Jesus was the maker. Jesus was God manifesting himself and creating the world out of his own word. I want you to take a moment. I want you to raise your right finger. All right? I want you to take it. I want you to poke it in the person next to you. See if they're real. See if they're real. That person next to you is very real because God says, I created him. And Jesus said, I created all things and uphold all things by the word of my power, and by me all things hold together. The reason that person next to you is not all arms and legs scattered all over the room, or are not atoms just exploding into the universe, is because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but who is also called the Everlasting Father, is the creator of that and the sustainer of it. He holds everything together. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child so that she have not compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you." You see, God is calling himself in this passage a mother. And Jesus talks about himself as the mother hen. He said, he's like the mother hen, calling his chicks, her chicks, under his wings to hold them. So I think we dare not stumble that Jesus Christ is a father, for he is indeed the father of all living things. All things are by him and for him and through him. Do we understand that? Give me an amen or shout no. All things are by him and for him and through him. All things were created by him and for his glory. That includes all creatures, great and small. Therefore, my conclusion is he is the father of all living. I love the series, and I've challenged myself, and during this year off, there are a number of books that I want to read. I want to go back and read through James Herriot's books, All Things Bright and Beautiful. He has five or six of them, and they're all about the veterinarian and how he sees the animals and how God is magnificent in the way he's created all things for his glory. It comes from a poem, and it goes like this: "All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each flower that opens, each bird that sings, he made their glowing colors, he made their tiny wings." And the poem goes on for another 3 minutes that I don't have time for, but you can look it up. It's a wonderful expression that God, through Jesus Christ, created all things. And all things are in him, and he is the Father of all living. Let me explain that. Number one, two, and three. First of all, he created you. That's why he's the Father. He created all things. Genesis 1:21, "And God created the great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was very good." You see, God created the heavens and the earth, but John says Jesus was there in the beginning, and without him, nothing was created that was created, for he created you, and he created me. Job 12:10 says this: "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, the breath of all mankind." That is God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is called the Everlasting Father, holds your breath in his hand. Take that mint now and sweeten it up, but he's holding the life breath that's in you. For he is the life, and to whom he gives life, that person lives. When God spoke life into the lifeless world, it came into being. And so it was through Jesus Christ that he did so. Psalm 45:16, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every little thing." I want you to think for a moment of our Creator and how great he was to create you and me. Psalm 139:14, think of the fact that you were created by God. You are his workmanship. You are created by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things and upholds all things by the word of his power. Psalm 139:14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that right well. I want you to look at that person you poked this morning. Look at them in their eyes, okay? It might be a stranger, but look at them in the eyes. Don't fall in love. Well, some of you might already be in love, but don't fall in love with it. I want you to look at that person for a moment. God says they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe that's a bad translation. Fearfully made is not something many of us want to be, but it means we were amazingly put together. God knows every part. He says he wrote them in your book. Every part of you is written. I want you to take your hands for a moment. Come on. Work with me because I got to speed along. Work with me. Look on your hands. Look for a blemish. Look for a freckle. Look for a mole. If you can't find one of your hands, look at somebody else's hand. If you don't find it in a hand, have them roll up their sleeve. If you can't find one there, have them roll up the pant leg. You've got some flaws on you that God created in there. Those things, he created you fearfully and wonderfully, amazingly. He knit you together. And as the Father has done, so the Son has done. The Father and the Son are one. I love the wonderful old hymn that talks about God's care for his little children. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. I think it's the third verse that says this. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This a pledge to me he made. I want you to think of yourself right now as a little baby. Look at that cute baby. You were once a cute baby, too. Every baby is cute. Every baby is wonderful. Every baby is precious. You would no more harm that baby than you would slap the face of the Father. And the Father looks at you always. The eyes of the Father, creator of all living things, as his little child. Would you stop looking at yourself as an adult all the time? Would you stop looking at your flaws? In Jesus Christ, Jesus erases the flaws. He sees you justified freely by his grace, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He remembers your sins and iniquities no more. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. That's the prerogative of the Father, to overlook those things covered by the mighty blood of Jesus. He created you. He is the everlasting Father. Secondly, he loves you. He's the everlasting Father. Psalm 103, the whole chapter is wonderful. I encourage you to memorize it by next week. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us after our sins, nor as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion, I like the King James translation, as the Father pities his children. That means he's moved with compassion. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Take a moment. Look at the person you've been poking and finding fault with. Look at them right now. Look at them. And recognize that the Father loves them. He has compassion on them. I want you to look at them with pity for them this moment. Look at them with pitiful eyes. Come on. Go ahead. Look at them. That's not disdain. Some of you are looking in disdain. Pity is not disdain. Pity is compassion. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithful. Let me show you some things that all of us go ooh and ah over. The little things God has created in his great big universe. He's created all the living things. And we look at it and we go, oh. Those that are listening in by CD or by tape, you can't see the videos, but you can pick up all these slides on our website. But there's a mother penguin with her little one under her. Could be a father, I don't know. But the little one. See? That, what a reaction. You're right on cue. The little kitten. We look at the little, even the ugliest little kittens. We look at them, and what do? We go, oh, why? Because we're doing what the Father does, because we're created in His image. We have compassion, we have pity, and some of you, and even me myself, at times, I have not been pitiful toward myself. I have treated myself with another standard, and I've expected myself to be perfect when I am not. And I don't have the eyes of the everlasting Father. And Jesus wants to challenge you to have the eyes of the everlasting Father. I encourage you to read this book series, the James Herriot, All Creatures Great and Small. Write it down, read it. Read it together with your family. There's lots of laughing things in there. And I love this because God created us to be cared for. He loves to care for us. That means He created us weak. He created us with imperfections. He created us with a lack of ability to take care of ourselves. That brings us to the third truth, that He is the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Father because He cares for you. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 to 29. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or still in barns if the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you? By worrying, can you add one single hour to His life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. What a wonderful truth. I want to share something. Here's where I've had some fun preparing this message. I wanted to share some things with you. As Jesus said, consider the lilies. He's not just referring to the lilies. He's talking about all the creations that He created in this world that are vegetation. He even has compassion on them because He provides and He cares for them. What I wanted to show you there is that God created some marvelous plants that would not survive without eating protein, without eating I was going to say humans. Don't eat humans. But they eat insects. They eat frogs and even lark. I saw one video in which a fish had splashed out of the water, a very small minnow, and had landed in the Venus flytrap, and the Venus flytrap closed. And it stays closed until it digests them completely and nourishes itself. Your Father in heaven has created you fearfully and wonderfully as He created all things for His glory. And He watches over them. He watches over them. Consider the lilies. Look at the other flowers that are around. I love flowers. I love flowers and I look at them and I say, wow, Lord, it's wonderful. I can't see all the colors that You see. But what I do see amazes me. And as God reveals those things to us, we need to collect glory because Jesus said, consider the lilies. Consider these inanimate objects that I have created. These things that are not human. These things that are not even animal. They are vegetable. And yet God cares for them. How much more does He care for you? You are more precious to Him than any rose. Believe it and trust Him. And then Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. And I want us to consider the birds of the air because God has created a magnificent variety of birds. And not only the beautiful birds, not only the flying birds and the squawking birds and the birds that eat carrion and all of those magnificent things that birds do, but He created some birds to be absolutely hilarious. And I want you to see this bird. It's called the lyre bird. Lyre bird. I was amazed by that, but that little bird, the lyre bird, does a whole lot more than just the sounds that were revealed here. He actually picks up radio stations that he hears workers in the forest playing radios and musical songs and imitates them exactly. You can find that on YouTube. But the reason I share that with you is because Jesus Christ is the Father of all living things. He created things to be enjoyed. He created animals that are funny. If you don't believe that, look into the Scriptures. Psalm 104 talks about a lot of the animals that God created. He created the Leviathan. People speculate about what that is, but it's probably the greatest whales. He said He created them there to frolic. And I like to think He created you to frolic as well. And some of you haven't done that for a long time. He's created all the wonders of the insect world. Back it up to the butterfly for a moment. I want to talk about the... Did you ever think about what happens to some of God's creatures in the dead of winter, like today, when the temperature is so cold? The butterfly, of course, you know, makes before it lays its eggs, and then the little worm, the caterpillar, crawls up a tree, gets under a leaf, and spins a shell for himself, attaches himself, and he's insulated. And he survives the most intense winters until spring comes and God calls him forth. And he comes forth as a beautiful butterfly, and the cycle repeats itself. Think of what happens to other insects like ants. What happens to ants? Where do the ants go? Well, they go deep in the ground. Where do the worms go? Where does the fat, juicy night crawler go in the middle of winter? God has provided for them. Jesus Christ overseeing all of creation because he's the Father of all living things and cares for them and allows them to burrow down up to 6 feet in the ground to be protected from the intense cold. Do you ever think what happens to the flies? How many of you love flies? You don't love flies. I don't love flies. I hate flies. And my garage is filled with them. And I love it when winter and freezing time comes. Back up a minute. When freezing times come and the flies are in the garage, I see them on the ledge and they're dead. I look at them. They are frozen solid. There's no way these suckers can live. But you know what? As soon as the temperature rises above 40 degrees, guess what? There's flies in my garage flying around. Isn't that amazing that God creates all of these things wonderfully, wonderfully well? He says in Psalm 45:15, the eyes of all, that's all living things, wait upon you to give them their meat in due season. I want you to just take a moment as we pass through a number of slides looking at the eyes of some of God's marvelous creations that Jesus Christ cares for as everlasting Father. It is amazing. Now as we come to this one, it's your eyes. Psalm 145:15. The eyes of all wait upon you to give them their meat in due season. He is your everlasting Father. Jesus Christ is caring for you. He cares what happens to you. That's why he had Matthew chapter 6, part of that Sermon on the Mount, to declare to you that you shouldn't worry about anything, that the everlasting Father, the shepherd of all the universe, is watching over you with his eye. Lastly, Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to their cry. And the Lord wants you to know, the everlasting Father, the Creator of all things, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is watching over you. Will you embrace him today as everlasting Father, as the lover of your soul, the caregiver who will watch over you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate these things, and there's so much more in your creation that makes us just go stand in awe in your presence. Lord Jesus, we exalt you for who you are. God incarnate, mighty God, everlasting Father, we rest in you today and ask that we would embrace you for your great love that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name.
I'm going to close this message this morning with a song by Don Moen, one of my favorite worship leaders. And he expresses it well in a song called He Knows My Name. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
Hi, friends. You know, I was on tour one time, and as a part of the tour, we visited this home for the elderly, like a rest home. And as I was going from room to room, visiting the patients, and just maybe saying a word of encouragement, singing a song, I saw an old man in one of the beds, and he was just kind of all crunched up, a very old guy. And above his bed, where they would put the names of the patient, it said, Mr. No Name. That's what it said, Mr. No Name. And I asked the nurse who was with me, does this man not have a name? She goes, no, we found him on the street. We don't know what language he speaks, and we don't know how to communicate with him. So I took the man's hand, and I said to him, nobody knows your name here. But I know someone who does know your name. God knows your name. And I want to remind you of that today. God knows your name. He knows where you've been because he's the God of the past. He knows right where you are today because He is the God of the present. And my friend, He knows what tomorrow holds because He is the God of the future, and you can trust Him with your future. So, Lord, we do put our trust in You today. We know that You know our rising up and our going down. You know the end from the beginning. And we put our trust in You today. Encourage my friends, Lord. Let them know that You have not forgotten them and You will never, ever forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139 says, Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, You know it completely. And that's the kind of God we serve. He knows our rising up and our laying down. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. And we can trust Him today. Amen. I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. And He knows my name.
Yes, He does.
Tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. And He sees your tears that fall and hears you when you call. He hears you when you call.
Yes, He does.
He hears us when we call.